Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Savidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapsha Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishavana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padidanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Srimad Gita Upanishad as it is, translation and commentary Srila Prabhupada, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text number 19, I believe. Oh, maybe it's 18. Yeah, 18. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Please repeat. Karmani akarma yaha pasyed akarmani cha karmaya sabudiman manushyeshu sa yuktaha Krishna karma krit karmaniya karma karmaniya karma yah pasyet akarmani cha karma yah sabudimam manushyeshu sa yuktaha Krishna karma krit Karmaniya karma yaha pasyet akarmani cha karma yaha sabudimam manushyeshu sayuktaha krishna karma krit Karmaniya karma yaha pasyet Akarmani cha karma yaha Sabudimam manushyeshu Sayuktaha Krishna karma krit Okay.
Sahabatimah manusia itu, 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 sahabatim
Kamaniya karma yaha pasyet akarmani sakarmaya sabudhimam manusheshu sayuktaha krishnam karma krit kamaniya karma yaha pasyet akarmani chakarmaya sabudhimam manusheshu Sayukta Krishna Karma Krit. Please repeat. Karmani in action. Akarma in action. Yaha, one who pasya observes akarmani in inaction, also karma. Fruitive action. Yaha, one who, saha, he, buddhimam, is intelligent. Manushyeshu, in human society. Saha, he, yuktaha, is in the transcendental position. Krishna karma krit. Although engaged in all activities, translation Srila Prabhupada, one who sees inaction in action, and action in inaction, is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. Please repeat. One who sees inaction, and action in inaction, is intelligent amongst men, and he is in the transcendental position. Although engaged in all sorts of activities, before Srila Prabhupada. A person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work. Consequently, he is intelligent in human society, even though he is engaged in all sorts of activities for Krishna. Akarma means without reaction to work. The impersonalist ceases fruitive activity out of fear, so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of his service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. Mukam karochi vachalam bhangam laite girin yat kripa tamaham vande Sri Guru Dinatana. So, karmini akarma yaha pasyat akarmini chakarma yaha sabudhimam manusheshu sayuktaha krishna karma krit. One who sees inaction in inaction an action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So Krishna is continuing his science of work, karma. So three ways, huh? Karma, activity, karmani, akarma. If you remember, we talked about the different types of karma. Karma means your duties according to Varnashram that are suitable for your psychophysical nature, as Prabhupada says. According to the modes, you will have a tendency to brahminical activity, kshatriya activity, vaishya activity, or just plain sudra activity, according to the modes. So that is karma, what you should do according to your material conditioning. Then, later on in a previous verse, earlier verse, Krishna talks about vikarma. Yeah, it's in the previous verse. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is and what forbidden action is and what inaction is. You see, previous verse, vikarma. So vikarma means to perform activities that are not correct. It means sinful activities, but also not correct for your nature. Like if you have the nature of a kshatriya and you try to be a professor, a teacher, this is incorrect. This is acting against your karma, your duties. So that is vikarma, doing sinful activities against your nature. And a worse version of that is ugrakarma. That means grossly sinful activity, like murder, rape, pillage, ruining the environment. These are all ugra karma. So karma is things you should do, vikarma is things that you shouldn't do, and ugra karma is grossly sinful activity. But then akarma, so Prabhupada and it's in the Vedas, of course, akarma means to not perform your duties, your karma, your duties according to your psychophysical nature. If you don't do your obligations, like Arjuna was told, if you don't fight, then that is also a bad act, a bad non-activity, we can say. But then akarma means also inaction, so it means inaction. So in today's verse, this inaction aspect of akarma is very prominent. And what does Prabhupada and Krishna mean when they say akarma? It means it brings no material fruit. It's inaction. So therefore, this is the first phrase. One who sees inaction in action, that means you're performing your duty, Arjuna, but it's not going to get a material result. So in terms of activity, it is akarma. You're not performing your duty, you're not getting any material result. You're performing your duty as a kshatriya, but if you perform it for the Supreme Lord, then you're free of the bounds of karma, as Prabhupada says, first sentence. A person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bounds of karma. So that means inaction. This is, you perform your duty, Arjuna, fight, but don't perform it with an attachment to the result. Perform it in devotional service, rather, and then you will be performing inaction. It'll have no material result. Right? So, this is very pertinent because, as we know, Arjuna was very worried about the result of his actions. That if I kill all these leaders of society, everything will be corrupted. And also I will have killed them for selfish goals to enjoy a kingdom. What's the use of that? Huh? So I'll be bound for hell, destroying people, destroying society, selfishly. So that is good. That is a good point, that if you act selfishly, as Arjuna is portraying there, you are going to get a result. So that's what the science of karma or bhakti yoga is so important. And that's why it was so, at the beginning of this chapter, Krishna explains, I taught it to Vivishwan and he taught it to his followers. So this was particularly relevant to the royal order, because the royal order sometimes has to use violence. They have to go to war. They have to kill people. They have to put down miscreants. So naturally, a person will consider, I'm having to fight and kill in war. I'm having to chastise sinful people for thievery, so on and so forth in the kingdom. What will be the result? Because it was common knowledge in the Vedic society that every activity is a seed that bears a fruit, a result in the future. Of course, in this modern society, that idea is largely absent. People think that there's no reaction to their activities. They think they can do anything. And then when they die, the lights go out and that's it. But actually, the lights go on and you might find the Yamadutas there. So anyway, people with a little knowledge, they understand my activities will bear fruit. So for a Kshatriya, that's particularly relevant, and particularly on the battlefield in such a big fight. What will be the result of this for me personally? If I win or lose, that's one thing. But what about the karma? So Krishna is saying, yes, this is a science of performing activities but getting inaction. Inaction in terms of no material fruit. And that science, as it is described to Krishna, to Arjuna by Krishna, is received in disciplic succession, and the saintly kings, they understood it in that way. And what is the secret of this science, told by me to you, Arjuna? The secret of this science is to perform everything as a service to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada says that, a person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. So the solution is to get rid of karma. The solution is to act for Krishna. But that doesn't mean to say you can do anything for Krishna. That's also a misinterpretation from the very early days when Prabhupada came. Some people put out the philosophy, you can do anything. You can steal for Krishna. You can cheat people for Krishna. You can pick their pocket for Krishna. So in one sense you can. But it is not according to the strictures of the acharyas. We find in the Nectar of Devotion, Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Sayuchate, that you can perform activities in relationship to Krishna that are favorable to Krishna, that are favorable to the directions of Guru, that are favorable for human society. But you cannot perform sinful activities as an offering to Krishna. Just like it's often said that if you perform activities to give something to Krishna, you get it back 1,000-fold. Many people do that. They come to the temple, oh, I'll give a rupee. And maybe next week I'll get 1,000 rupees. So, yes, okay, if you have that idea, well, if you perform sinful activities to Krishna, you'll get them back 1,000-fold. That's something to consider. So you're stealing and thieving for Krishna, then maybe you'll get 1,000 times the reaction. Of course, that has been done. I believe Ramanujacharya, there's a famous story. I haven't read it, but I've heard it from different sources. But it's instructional. You better ask the Ramanujas for the details. But apparently he engaged whole groups of dacoits, right? He wasn't getting enough cash to build Sri Rangam. So he engaged groups of dacoits to steal money and so on and so forth. Goods for the building of Sri Rangam. But just in case people start to use that as a excuse for illicit activity, the story is that he put them all on after the temple was built and everything was financially set up. He put them all on a boat, sent them in, went off into the middle of the Narmada River, I believe. Yeah? Kaveri down there, that's right. And then he turned the boat over and drowned the lot of them and walked to the shore. Of course, Ramanujacharya is Adiguru, he's Baladev. So you can do like that. I mean, Baladev can do like that, but we shouldn't think we can do like that. I'll engage an army of dacoits and then kill them off when I've got enough cash to build a temple. But Krishna and Krishna's expansions, Baladev, they're free of all the material constraints. All their activities are dharma. So he's illustrating his independence. And no doubt those dacoits got nicely purified in the holy river Kaveri, and they got some benefit. They were under his shelter. But Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe means that those things that you can't do for Krishna, that are against dharma, that are against moral behavior, you can't offer them. Sambandha Krishna. But those that are in relationship to devotional service, that are fruitful, you can perform those. So therefore, the Kshatriyas, when they learn this science, they are restrained in their activities. By studying this science, they realize there's a reaction to my work, so I'd better only perform dharmic activities, and then I'd better perform those dharmic activities in Krishna consciousness. This will be this two-stage effect for the Kshatriyas, and thereby all human beings. That first of all, I'd better act in a morally dharmic fashion, and then I should act for Krishna. Yad karosi yadadnasi yogstadosi dadasiya yad tapasya sikuntaya tad kuruswa madarpanam. Everything should be offered to Krishna in the Varnashram system. That was the next sloka. Last week we discussed Varnashram, but that was rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not exactly rejected, but he said this is external. And then the next verse was there. Yes, okay. Perform your activities, Varnashram duties, but perform them for Krishna. That's the start of the devotional mentality. So, That is what's meant by the first one, inaction, inaction. That you're performing your dharma, Arjuna, you should fight, but don't worry about the fruit. It's inaction if you perform it for the Supreme. In the third chapter, yajna tatka mano nyatra loko yam karma bandana. Work has to be performed for Vishnu, or else it will bind you to this world. So that's how you become inactive materially, by performing your dharma for Krishna. But that in itself is not enough. The Bhagavatam takes us a stage later. What's that verse? Swanushtita pumsham viksvakshena katha suyaha not pariyate ratim shramahi eva kevalam. That the activities a person performs according to his dharma are just useless labor if they don't provoke or evoke attraction for hearing the message of Vasudev. Right? So that's the real point. That, yes, the aim is not just to get free of karma, but the real thing is ratim. Not payate ratim. That means attraction or attachment, ratim. That on the negative side, yes, avoid your karma, you're binding to the material world, but on the positive side, get attached to Krishna. And particularly hearing about Krishna, because the path of bhakti is the path of hearing. Shramahi eva kevalam, or else it's all useless. You may go up to heaven, but that's useless because you're still in the cycle of birth and death. So, this is for Arjuna. But also, earlier, Arjuna wanted to become inactive by not doing his duty. But Krishna said that's actually action. There's a hint here. And action in inaction. So inaction means here akarma, not performing your duties, but still, as Krishna told Arjuna, you have to maintain your material body. So there's no such thing in one sense as inaction. Inaction. Because nobody, as Krishna said, can refrain from doing anything even for a moment. Because your heart is beating, you have to go to the bathroom, you may stand on an ant, you may be vegetarian, but you're killing carrots, you're killing lettuce, right? So on and so forth. So many creatures and so much natural conditions you're exploiting for the maintenance of your body, and you have to act for the maintenance of the body. You can't just decide, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to sleep, not going to the bathroom. You cannot just decide, I'll do nothing. No, you have to go to bed, you have to wake up, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to eat. So where's the inaction? There's no such thing as inaction in that sense. You may reduce your activities, but that's not inaction. Reducing activities is not inaction. So that was also pertinent to Arjuna, because Arjuna wanted to just leave the battlefield. But he's still performing action. And also the thing is, Krishna says a further point, that not only is inaction not a viable activity, because it doesn't exist, but also you'll be performing, you will be akarma. You will be not performing your duty. So therefore, earlier, third chapter, better to perform your duty imperfectly than another duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of one's own duty is always far better than performing another person's duty perfectly. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that action, inaction, these are very flexible phrases. But if you become transcendentally situated, this will all become clear to you. Therefore, that's what Krishna says here. You see that? Somebody who can see that is intelligent amongst men. If you can see that performing your duty for Krishna is inaction, then you're intelligent. If you can see that performing your duty will get no material bondage for you, you're intelligent. But if you can also see that by not performing my duty, I am actually becoming bound in two ways. First of all, I'm not performing my duty, which is a default. I have a duty to my brothers, to the kingdom, but I'm not going to do it. That's sinful. If you're a doctor and you don't cure somebody who could be cured, then that is sinful. If you see somebody walking to the side of a cliff and you don't say, hey, don't walk anymore, and you allow that person to fall off the cliff, then you are sinful, are you not? So you have a duty, Arjuna. And then the other point is that there's no such thing as inactivity, because you have to act for the maintenance of the body. So if you can understand that, you're intelligent. This is what Krishna is saying. And in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So this is a very good summation of the science of action. That it's not immediately obvious who is inactive. The tendency of people nowadays is that they think that spiritual life means to become materially inactive. I think Prabhupada touches this in the purport, does he not? Yes. The impersonalist ceases fruitive activities out of fear, so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. So the impersonalist, this tendency, and it's not just in India, but it's throughout the world at this time. Many people have this conception that if I want to enter spiritual life, then I stop doing things. Actually, as Prabhupada showed himself, you'll become more vigorous in your activities because you'll be transcendentalized. You'll get spiritual energy. And therefore, instead of acting for your own selfish ends, you'll act for Krishna. Instead of becoming static, you'll become ecstatic. Instead of becoming a piece of dull wood, you'll become alive. So in the material world, that's the problem. People are thinking selfishly, so they think the opposite is spiritual, to act unselfishly. Therefore they think that spiritual life means instead of trying to get money, you give away money. Instead of performing activities for myself, I do it for the welfare of mankind. But that is just material piety. You're doing better things than being purely selfish. You're trying to act for other people. But you're not adopting the correct goal of service. The correct goal of service is Krishna, not humanity. And if you serve Krishna, the order of Krishna is to give benefit to the whole of humanity. Correct? Instead of acting for myself, I should act for Krishna. But what will Krishna tell me to do? He'll say, go back to Godhead and tell other people go back to Godhead. You become free of the bondage of karma and attached to Krishna, and you teach others the same process. This is the important point. So Prabhupada has put it very nicely there. It's the impersonalist. You see, what is an impersonal? Impersonal means non-person, right? So we see, as we discussed earlier, all people, they act. All persons, they act. Right? This table doesn't act. That chair doesn't act. It's impersonal. So personal and action is tied together. If you're a person, even if you're a small child or very mature in age, you're always performing activity. Even if your body is apparently not moving, the heart is pumping, the internal organs are moving, they're full of action, and your mind, your consciousness is always full of activity. So a person means activity, subtle and gross. So if you have an impersonal idea, then you take away activity and thought and action, because you think we should just become immobile, like my mobile phone. People are thinking that personality means bondage because of action, therefore freedom of bondage means impersonalism and lack of action, or getting rid of action completely. So this is a false supposition, that the opposite of spiritual, the opposite of material life is inaction. Yes, in material life we have so many activities, but they should be transformed to Krishna. We like to eat, think, sleep, mate, defend, but we can eat Krishna prasad. We can have children and train them in Krishna consciousness. We can defend the spiritual, the temple, the mission of the Lord. So in this way, all the activities can be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. Then they become inaction in terms of no material fruit. So this is the real final point, that Krishna reveals himself through this process. If you perform your activities, thinking, feeling, willing, for Krishna's satisfaction, then you're a devotee. And Krishna, out of his grace, reveals himself to his devotees. It's as simple as that. Knowledge, it can get you so far, like we're having this chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. There's no doubt that knowledge, renunciation of material activities, jnana and vairag, they can get you a footing in the doorway of bhakti. But the only real thing you need is sincerity. The impersonalist, he may study the Vedanta. Of course, he has a basic misconception that the absolute truth is impersonal. But he may gather so much knowledge, but he's not a devotee. Why? Because he's not sincere about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thinks that that is just some psychological construction. But the devotee accepts the eternal form of Krishna as given in the Vedas. The definition of Pashyandi is atheist. So a Pashyandi is somebody, this is the Vedic definition of atheist. We hear this word atheist a lot. It means against theos, against God. But actually, a very precise definition is given in the Vedas, and that is that an atheist is somebody who does not accept the Vedic conclusion. He doesn't agree with the Vedic Siddhanta. He rejects it. The Vedic Siddhanta is a revelation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is apurusheya Brahma. It is not manifest in this material world. It is manifest by the Supreme Lord Himself. So if you don't accept the revelation of the Supreme Lord by the Supreme Lord, you're an atheist, obviously. So those people that have misconstructed ideas of the Supreme Godhead, they are also atheists. If they do not accept the Vedic conclusions, the essence of them at least, if they believe in voidism, if they believe in impersonalism, then they're atheists. But also, if they believe that Durga is the supreme, they're atheists. If they believe that Surya is supreme, they're atheists. If they have the wrong Siddhanta, but also those that are outside the Vedic conclusion and have the wrong conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and don't accept the Vedic conclusion, they are also Pashyandi. They are also atheists. So, without being connected to Krishna through Guru, through Parampara, you can have no intelligence. You cannot be in a transcendental position. You cannot understand anything, because you will just be in the Maya Shakti. The devotee, it's meant here in this verse, he's connected with Krishna by consciousness. So he's not in the Maya Shakti, he's in the Chit Shakti. So everything for him is an open book. But for those in the Maya Shakti, everything is a cloud, a dance of fireflies. Everything is guesswork, mental speculation. So their religious systems, their goals in life, their conception of spiritual life, their conception of material life, these are all illusory. But those that accept this knowledge in disciplic succession and study at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, by his grace, by Krishna's grace, Yashadeva Prabhakti Yashadeva Tathagaro, by their grace, everything is revealed automatically. So this is what's meant also here, that he is intelligent and in the transcendental position. So if one accepts the Vedic conclusion and studies it, submissive oral reception, with faith, Yashadeva Parabhakti Yashadeva Tathagaro, What's that verse? Ashradha yomam evam asamudho jinati purushottamam sasava bidvajatimam sava bhavena bharatam. One who without doubt accepts me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting. Just consider, if you accept Krishna without doubt in tattva, then you are the knower of everything, and he engages in my devotional service enthusiastically. So, yes, we should study knowledge of Krishna. We should gain all sorts of understanding, but that should fuel our sincerity. The most thing is to be sincere. Gana Misra Bhakti means there's devotion to Krishna, but it's mixed with a desire for knowledge. However, if one actually realizes Krishna, then the desire for knowledge fades away. I think it's in the Padma Puran, the story about Bhakti Devi. She's looking very weak. She's traveling towards Vrindavan, and she has two sons with her, Gyan and Vairag. And they're looking kind of strong and healthy, but she's not looking very full. So she, when they enter Vrindavan though, Bhakti Devi flourishes, and the two sons, they go to sleep. So this is allegorical. In the material world, people are gathering knowledge about this and that, and they're renounced and they think they're moral and so on. But bhakti is weak. But in Vrindavan, the forest of devotion, right, Vrindavan, bhakti is very strong, and the desire for knowledge and renunciation in action is put to sleep. But at the beginning, it's very important, and this is bhakti, it is to hear. But we hear not with the desire for knowledge, but with the desire to improve our realization of Krishna and thereby our devotion. The prayojan, the desire, the goal, the necessity is bhakti to Krishna. That's what we want to achieve. So yes, we study all these intricacies of knowledge, and as we realize them, we become transcendentally situated and we become liberated from the desire for material fruit, because we understand. Look at Indra. We're hearing every day in the class, right? He's king of heaven, but such a trouble he's got, trying to maintain the job. But here, yes, that's the next verse actually. Although engaged in all sorts of activities, Yashya Deva, yeah, one is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. So yes, we gain knowledge, and that knowledge, we want to be transcendentally situated, and we burn up the reaction. But that is only a stepping stone to improve our sincerity. Now this section, Krishna sums it all up. He sums it all up. And then 23rd verse. The work of a man, that means the karma, who is unattached to the modes of material nature, he's not trying to enjoy. This is 23. And who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge, merges entirely into transcendence. So this is how inaction is attained, by gaining shastric knowledge, by hearing from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Then with this spiritual understanding given in the Vedas, in the Gita, one becomes free of desire for fruitive result. It's part and parcel of the package. That if you study transcendental knowledge in disciplic succession with a genuine desire for realization, then you will naturally lose attraction to the Maya Shakti, to getting a fruit. So throughout the Gita you will find the same theme given to Arjuna, that yes, Arjuna, you're entangled in this world, but perform your activities for the satisfaction of me, Krishna, and you'll become free. You won't be entangled anymore. So we'll finish on this point. Any questions? Action, inaction? Yes?
Any question about that? Question about that?
Well, you're in the period of sadhana bhakti because you're acting correctly, but you're not fully realized in your relationship with Krishna. The devotee is always thinking of Krishna when he performs his activities, but the sadhaka, this remembrance of Krishna, becomes intermittent. But because he's performing those activities, that is a form of remembrance of Krishna. So we should take heart in that way, thinking that even though my consciousness may be forgetting Krishna when I'm performing his service, still I'm performing his service through my bodily activities, and that will bring me to perfection. Yeah?
The question was, you said when we spoke about Krishna praying, one should not perform another's activity, even if one can perform it perfectly.
Yeah.
To perform one's own activity, even if imperfectly.
Yeah, that's an interesting sloka, isn't it? Go on.
I wanted to just understand it with some example. I was not able to catch the important.
Well, there's a bit of a hint in there. It's particularly spoken to Arjuna. So Arjuna is saying, I don't like these activities, they're imperfect. I have to kill my family members. Right? So Arjuna is being told by Krishna, by that sloka, better to perform your own activities imperfectly, with some fault, than to perform another activities perfectly. And that's a reference to the fact that Arjuna didn't want to fight. He didn't want to act as a Kshatriya. He wanted to renounce and, you know, live by begging. And that wasn't his duty. Even if you become a perfect beggar, Arjuna, then that is not correct, because you have your duty now. So this understanding is relevant to those who are bound by Varnashram. And Arjuna is the example for us. We shouldn't think that now I'm transcendental and then therefore I don't have to perform material duties. Imagining oneself to be on a position that one is not. So there's a hint there. Arjuna, you can become a perfect beggar, but you have your duty to perform, right? But it has a wider relevance also, that if we have the duty to be a guru, we've got disciples, we've initiated maybe thousands of disciples, then we have a duty to teach our disciples. That's our prime duty. You've taken the position of guru, you're teaching, but then you think, well, now the disciples, they can look after themselves, I'm going to become a manager and spend most of my time managing. Well, in that sloka, Krishna is not agreeing with that. You have disciples, you've initiated them. Now, to the best of your ability, educate them in Krishna consciousness. Concentrate on that activity. And don't be whimsical, thinking, oh, I'll become a manager now, or I'll become a businessman. You understand? Or I'll get a job in a factory as a sudra. No. And you might become a very perfect sudra in the factory, making motor cars or something. You might become a very successful businessman. You might become a very good manager or politician. But what about your disciples and your duty? So even if you're not a perfect spiritual master in the sense you don't know Siddhanta perfectly, you haven't read everything, but you know the essence, then that's your duty, to give that to your disciples. Because who can know everything anyway about Krishna? It's even stated in the Bhagavatam that Sukadeva Goswami, he didn't know, he wasn't so expert in chanting of yajna mantras. That's stated there. So Sukadeva Goswami, but he knew everything about Krishna, the essential things. But to say he had the complete knowledge of Krishna, of course, no one has, because Krishna is unlimited. There's those slokas, many the demigods, the rishis, they don't know me. Even I don't know myself. So that's the meaning of that sloka. If you're in a situation where you have duties to be a guru, to fight in Arjuna's case, then you should do those. And you shouldn't think, oh, it's inconvenient now, I'm fed up teaching my disciples, I'm going to become a businessman. Then that's rascaldom, is it not? I'm not pointing that finger at anyone. But we've seen in our society people make mistakes. And it does state, it's in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, first Vilas, the Guru section, says that if you initiate disciples and you don't teach them, then you'll be born as a worm in the stool. It's like if you have a child and then you just leave it in the hospital lobby and go. Some people do that, right? Right, isn't it? Then that's a terrible lack of performing duty. Oh, yeah, but never mind, I left my baby in the hospital, but I was a very good bus conductor. That's not going to work at the time of death. Yamaraj, well, you're performing somebody else's duty. But you're meant to be a father to your children. You're meant to be a guru to your disciples. So now you have a duty, you better do it properly. That's the meaning of that sloka. Instead of being perfectly something else, when you have a clear duty, then you must apply yourself in that direction. Is that satisfying? Yeah. Yes.
Came late like yesterday. I could not follow the entire lecture. I guess the point when you mentioned this point, the ultimate goal of one's life, any activity is to serve Krishna. That is the ultimate goal of anyone's any activity. Ultimate goal. Whatever activity you perform, if you perform like opening hospitals, school, and so welfare society and all that, is not the ultimate goal of one's activity. Because they don't know the ultimate goal what they are doing. They are aloof of this perfect actual goal.
Yeah, they don't have knowledge of Krishna consciousness.
I could not fathom the limit of this social activity or the social welfare type of activities and this transcendental activities, which are between all these things. My question is, people who at large, who are laymen, who don't understand the intricacy of this, people's Krishna is the ultimate goal, he is the ultimate welfare, and this not. Because generally people relate all these, their mentality, their kindness to these activities at large.
You mean welfare activities?
Yeah, like for example, opening hospital, doing, feeding a poor man or something like that. That's why there are so many, institutions and so many, religious institutions are there. And they, generate like anything, because people at large relate themselves with these activities.
Yeah, we talked about this.
So my point is, as a layman, if I'm considering myself as a layman, and an outside, because not everyone can come to ISKCON, and everyone can approach, be a part of ISKCON, and be a related to activities.
So what's the question?
So my point is, just recollecting for example, when Lord Buddha was giving lecture, one hungry man, came there, and he was hungry for 3 days, and he was expecting some good prasad or something like that. His disciple asked him, "You just please go there and attend the next class, and you will get prasad." But Lord Buddha, just out of his, he woke up his samba and he just asked that man, go and feed him first and then ask him to attend the class. Because I'm trying to make a point here that if the person who is very
you want to have prasad, you want to have prasad before class, is that? Is that the point?
My point is,
you want a full stomach before you come to class.
Someone is ignorant. He is not ready to understand the intricate philosophy. Not necessarily.
Somebody is ignorant, he may be very eager to understand.
If someone is entangled his worldly things and he is expecting something which is related to his body or immediate needs, he may or she may not understand the deep philosophy unless or until this basic amenities or basic concern is get over or removed. He may not be able to understand. So why not,
What you said is a very common thing for people. They want to avoid their spiritual duties and they say, I have to do my material duties first. That's what you're basically saying. People may have the idea that first I have to do my material duties, then I can engage in spiritual life. But the whole point of Bhagavad Gita is, and this is in Lord Brahma's instruction, that whatever your situation is, jnana upadaya, whatever your situation is, don't stop that. Stay in that situation, performing your duties, but sthani sthita srutikatam, you should hear. Instead of hearing from the television set, which is the guru of Kali Yuga, you should hear from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Right? You don't have to stop activities. This is what Krishna told Arjuna in so many ways. But you perform your activities in Krishna consciousness. And how will you develop that Krishna consciousness? This is what you are just saying. People may be ignorant and they may not have this Krishna consciousness. Same question, same answer. If they hear the Vedic philosophy, just like we're discussing every day, every week, the Vedic philosophy. If you hear, then naturally your devotion to Krishna wakes up. Shravanadi Sudati Tekaride Udai. If you hear Krishna consciousness from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then the effect will be that you lose material anxiety, material conceptions, and that your natural devotion, this is the important point, Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhavasya, that Krishna consciousness, devotion to Krishna is there naturally, but it's dormant. So we don't say, as we were saying earlier, stop activities. We say, continue in your material duties, but add hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the Gita, right? Associate with the sadhus, study the Shastra, and then your natural Krishna consciousness will awaken. Just like when the weather is correct, the plants blossom. So when we watering the plant of devotion, the seed of devotion, by hearing and chanting, it will sprout. So this, it goes back to the earlier discussion about impersonalism. People in Kali Yuga, they're so badly instructed that they think spiritual life means to stop material activities, to become a tapasthi, to sit in front of 20 fires surrounded by, or to stand in the cold water, or to stop eating. They think that it is giving up. They think of it in negative terms. Well, we don't say that. Keep your material duties, but those things that are sinful, you work, get rid of them, and you hear about Krishna. You try to live a theistic life. Pramanas chad acharas tadabhyasa nirantaram. Krishna tells Lord Brahma three things if you want to become Krishna conscious. First, pramana. You should hear the Vedic conclusion, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Second, theistic conduct. That means you should behave properly. You shouldn't be a liar and a cheat and a thief. I'm not looking at you when I say that. But you should, theistic conduct. You should be a moral person. If you have business, make a profit, but don't cheat people. If you're a doctor, do your job properly. If you're a policeman, do it everything theistically, correctly, morally. And then nirantaram, persevere in your practice. That means you, in Kali Yuga, you should take to chanting and studying Shastra. Then all these ideas, misconceptions will be gone. What's that verse in the Bhagavatam? Manda samanda matayo manda bhagya upadruta. People in Kali Yuga are lazy about spiritual realization, misinformed, badly instructed, and always disturbed. So, Krishna consciousness is positive action. It's not giving up. It means to do things for Krishna. We all have activities we have to perform. Do them for Krishna. And then that spirit of devotion will help awaken your own devotion that's within the heart. Understand? And to create that remembrance of Krishna, practice makes perfect. That's all. And we should be sincere. This is important, because if you're going to be steady, you have to be sincere. And if you're steady, then it's a way of proving yourself to Krishna, that I want to be your devotee, Krishna. I'm chanting, I'm trying to do service for the spiritual master, I'm acting theistically, I'm not turning away from this. So Krishna, please give me a little mercy. Gurudev kripa bindu diya koro edase trena peka atihina. So we have to appeal to the Guru with sincerity. Please give me a little mercy. Kandiya kandiya pranana rakibo ara. Bhaktivinoda even goes, if you're not merciful to me, karuna no hoile, then I'll give up my life. But that is ecstatic emotion. You shouldn't think like that. That's Bhaktivinoda in his ecstasy of love of God. So everything is sincerity.
Everything is sincerity and purity is the two. This is
the criteria of becoming a pure devotee. Yeah, so, no, the point is, the way I'm saying is, gathering knowledge and so on and going to Mangalarati, following all rules and regulations, great. But we have to combine that with sincerity of desire to achieve Krishna prema. You understand? We have to appeal to Guru and Krishna. Please give me a little prema. And this is my yajna. You understand? That's what I mean when I say sincerity. Otherwise, I've seen it, people come, they become devotee, and they enjoy for 2-3 years. Oh, it's nice in the temple. It's the mode of goodness. I feel good. I'm enjoying being a devotee. And I mean that. Enjoying, it's the mode of goodness. I feel happy. I've got friends. I'm not working in a factory. I'm not a rickshaw wala. And then, after 2-3 years, they start to. I'm not advancing. I'm not getting any Krishna prema. Maybe I should do something else, you see. Because they're not being properly instructed. The path of bhakti means that sincere desire to achieve the goal. Vipralamba save above. So understanding all this transcendental knowledge is good, and it'll put you on transcendental platform. But then you have to really develop your sincerity. You have to desire. Lobta, right? Lolam, Siddha of Lhasa, right? So many songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Or else we'll just become mechanical and we'll think the mode of goodness and we'll give up one material identity. I'm from Bihar, I used to be a follower of Lalu Prasad and I had a lati stick and everything. I used to be, now I'm in the temple, I'm a brahmachari, working in the goshala. And we take on a new material, false ego. But there, so we change from one false ego to another false ego, and we think, oh, I'm Krishna conscious. No. Krishna consciousness means to develop your swarup, your spiritual relationship with Krishna. And to get that, you have to desire it. Eko yo dadadati kaman. So this is very important. So we hear, and if we are fortunate through sadhu sangha, the sadhu will emphasize this point. Don't try to be happy in this world or improve things by hearing or doing your material duties. Rather, try to get them out of the way so you can fully apply yourself to hearing and chanting. Minimize your material activities.
People are so rigid in their mentality, you know, because I've talked to so many people. I was going to Mayapur in a train. I talked to a boy who was doing MBBS. He just told me, you know, in this discussion, you know, we discussed things and we made one point. He told, you people are, you know, I guess these spiritual people are lazy, you know, they don't do anything. And you know, it was his perception that if spiritual people who go to a spiritual, you know, institution or something like that, they are lazy people, they want to avoid this.
So you, next time you say, okay, I know Keshi Damana, he's been getting up at 3 o'clock for more than 40 years. Is he lazy? When are you getting up? You're getting up 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Your shop doesn't open till 11:30, right? In India, the downtown, they open very late. Why? Because they're lazy. They're filling their belly full of paratha and watching television till 1 o'clock, and lying in with their belly becoming fatter, and then they think everyone else is lazy. Why? Because they're lazy. Atmavan manyate jagat. Generally, when people criticize others, they're pointing out, without understanding, their own things. Like if people are always saying, oh, he's envious. What does that mean? Oh, you're envious, Prabhu.
Me?
No. Because we generally see reality through our own lens. Atmavan manyate. As a man is, he sees the world. So it says in the Bhagavatam, people are manda samanda, lazy, slow in intelligence. Mandabhagya, unfortunate, that means they're not properly instructed. But hyupadruta, they're always disturbed. So people, they are disturbed and lazy and unintelligent. They're covered by the Maya Shakti. That's why Mahaprabhu has given one simple system. What is it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This will go right to the soul, you see, past the mind. Because people always have, they always think their opinion is correct. That is the covering and throwing potency. People always think, my opinion is the best on the block. You know? If I think people are lazy when they take to spiritual life, that means they're lazy in taking to spiritual life. And the reason is because I thought that. And my thinking, it's the absolute truth. That's how people are, isn't it? They're always full of opinion. Oh yes, I know this. Yes, yes, I know. Isn't it? See? So you just say to them, oh, you know everything. You don't need me. Just chant Hare Krishna. You big donkey. I didn't say it. I said you're a big donkey. So anyway, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. So we have to respect them. As that. We have to have compassion for them. But at the same time, Krishna does say fools and rascals, but without envy, you see. So people are foolish. They all have wrong opinions. That's part and parcel. Just like in the night, everyone is in darkness. Material life, everyone, their opinions, big philosophers, big scientists, they all have inconsequential, partial, mistaken knowledge. It's just natural. So the best way to get through to them is to try and get them to chant. Just like this is a very good program in Prabhupada Samadhi, they chant, they go around. That's very, if they chant just one round, that can open up a whole world of Krishna consciousness. So in Kali Yuga, chanting is the key.
Whatever activity they are performing in the name of Krishna is not wrong, but the point is they only think they are lacking is they don't know how to channelize and how to connect it to Krishna, right? Yes, there's nothing wrong, but they are doing it, just they don't know the actual purpose and they are not connecting it to Krishna, so that's their mistake.
Because the Maya Shakti means that which is not. So Maya, in Krishna consciousness, you see everything connected to Krishna. Everything is the energy of Krishna. All the living entities are the expansions of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. You see everything connected to Krishna. But in the, so that's yoga, union, Maya. But Maha Maya means you see everything disconnected to Krishna. In fact, you don't know Krishna. So you're just focusing on all these things, trying to analyze and make some philosophy. You may be a big philosopher and come up with this globalism, feminism, capitalism, this-ism, that-ism, whatever. But it's all illusory because it has no connection to Krishna. So devotee means somebody who tells everyone, you're connected to Krishna, but you've forgotten. And you can remember by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this process is practical. You can test it for yourself. Right? So that's the best thing. If you take apart their arguments, you'll just give yourself a headache and you may alienate them because people become affronted when you don't agree with them. So the best thing is just to say, yes, you're a very learned man. I've listened to your conversation with great enthusiasm. Now you please chant Hare Krishna. You are the best person for this because of your vast understanding that your wife doesn't want to listen to. That's why you're boring me with it. Because your wife is fed up with it. A lion in the chase and a mouse at home. But you're not like that. So
this is the vanishing to the people who are habitual of making their playing their own tune, instead of listening to the person who is making some valid point based on the sadhu sastra. They don't listen to that people. So what is the fact to that? I guess this is the medicine.
Well, Lord Nityananda used to, in Navadvip, Nityananda would go up to beautiful girl and say, look, oh beautiful girl, if you chant Hare Krishna, I'll marry you. He would go into the drinking dens. You know, they still have those, what, they make the drink out of coconut, and he'd get them to chant. But we should be a little more careful, I think.